Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday again. Wow, historic week, historic morning. So let's acknowledge this morning that Jack Welch, legendary corporate executive, died this morning. I guess they announced it this morning. He was 84 years old. And that caps off a week, this last week. Wow. So we're down hard in global and domestic equities, and yields collapsed. So we got 10-year yields now close to 1%. And so the whole point here is this the uncertainty around the coronavirus spreading from China. Now it's in South Korea, Africa, Iran, Italy, Japan, United States, and so we just experienced the second death of a person infected in the coronavirus up in the Washington State area. Outside of Seattle. So it's now, what do we do? So the obviously the capital markets, they move in extremes from greed and fear. So we have moved from arguably that greed area where we just saw risk on trades and in excess and valuations into this fear and the fear of the unknown. And so we've seen huge corrections in the market. So every sector, I think, is off 10%, maybe except for consumer services over the last week. So, and ironically, the stock, one of the stocks that was up was Netflix this last week. So I think more subscribers are staying home to watch TV. But our job here is not to predict the severity of the spreading of the virus. Our job here is to assess the potential impact on the valuation of individual securities in the capital markets and then move our portfolios around. And for that, we have certain beliefs. So let me kind of walk through the belief system here, talk about what we're doing, and then try to make sense of all of this. So the equity market has the potential to rebound quickly after this. So we're in this fear piece of this. And remember, a large part of all trades now are done on through algorithms. So not convinced that this is people coming in, cashing in their IRAs, saying, hey, take me out. This is too painful. I believe this is momentum trading through algorithms. And we're experiencing a large part of that because of just how the markets are shaped now. So once there's clarity on the virus and its economic impact, I think we'll see a very, very sharp, quick rebound. The impact of the virus began to show itself in the first week of February here in the United States. So it'll start to come through the February data. And it could be that the February data actually here in the United States domestically, it doesn't show that bad. It's going to show, we're going to see more of it come through, I think, late February, early March here. But for domestic companies, first quarter earnings are going to be impacted. We're going to see this as a reason for managing earnings expectations lower would be our expectation. The Federal Reserve, one of our themes this year is that the independence of the Fed is going to be challenged heading into the election. And we still think this is the case. The Fed has indicated it will participate in a global orchestration of monetary policy and liquidity. I think the Fed, frankly, lowering interest rates is not going to help the spread of the virus, but it will provide liquidity to the capital markets. However, I think we could debate that it does more damage than it does good. The key for us is to look at the jobs numbers. So there's a disconnect between the numbers the Labor Department's showing and then anecdotally what we're seeing in the layoffs. And my concern is what's going to happen here in the February and March data is that companies that are under a potential pressure from the coronavirus start to lay off workers. So we see an increase in layoffs, and it comes through the payroll numbers, and we see unemployment move higher, which affects consumption, and that may have an impact heading into the summer. But the fear of the unknown is what's gripping the market. So once more is known on the virus, we think prices of financial assets will start to normalize. And so finally, this is an opportunity to reposition the portfolios. And that's what we're doing. So with that, I'm going to turn it over, Adam, to you first. And let's talk about what we're doing in the markets. And then Freddie, I want you to also lay in with what you're doing as well.
So several months ago, we were talking about how we were taking down risk in portfolios. We were moving into low volatility ETFs and also moving into dividend focused ETFs. So we wanted to highlight low volatility right now as of year to date is down 6.8%, give or take, depending on the fund you're looking at, relative to the S&P 500, which is down over 8.5%. So you can see that these funds are working, that we're trying to measure our strategy and how that implementation is working. So we're seeing that the risk off has helped us cushion the blow. So I would anticipate here in this coming week, we start to shift out of low volatility and back into broad market ETFs. We're not trying to take any specific bets outside of the market, but where we've added some value to the downside, putting that respect on.
So we also increased the equity basis last year in some small increments. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's obviously been a lot of selling pressure and we can't really guess when the turnaround is going to begin. But last week in our WCM Tactical Series, we added 3 times to our large cap ETF, Schwab X, on all of the large drops. There were 3 days where the Dow actually fell over 1,000 points. And we're looking to continue adding and averaging into our position if the market does keep falling.
Yep. And part of that's just to keep just a dollar cost basis in. But part of this also is to recognize that our models are underweight equity to start with, relative from a risk basis, risk allocation standpoint, is to actually move to a higher weighting in the equity basis, given what we're trying to do in those models. How do you approach that? How do you decide that you're going to increase the basis to the overall equity exposure?
Well, I think you have to look first at how has the portfolio shifted over the last couple of days. I mean, 10%, 15% type moves really changes the way your portfolio looks. So even just getting back to even, which is a typical rebalance, but from there, we got to look at, we're using our risk score to see how we are within our bands. Right now, we would probably be on the lower end because our equity exposure is continuing to decrease as fixed income's outperforming. So really just getting that back to the level we're comfortable with.
So we've been pretty steady state in international, both developed and emerging markets. We started last year, 2019, with a desire to add to international, and we could never find the entry point just where valuations were. Do you guys see an opportunity in the international space? And when would you look at adding to international exposure?
I still don't see it. I mean, when you're looking at where you have to look at growth, and the problem that we had adding to international was the fact that they just didn't have the growth. Earnings were on the decline still. With this virus, I think you're going to make that problem even worse. So right now, I think the domestic economy is just much stronger.
Yeah, Germany, France, and Italy last quarter, 0 to negative growth, impacted by China right now. You're looking at another contraction this quarter. So,
and then in the emerging markets, if you're going to have slowing Europe, you're going to see less credit flows to emerging markets. I think it's just all intertwined.
Yeah, I feel for Venice. Venice just came off the floods.
Right.
They had 6 feet of water in St. Mark's Square, and now they're basically under quarantine, aren't they? It's one of the cities that is where travel's restricted, and a city that lives on tourism. All right, so Treasury's going to what, 104 overnight, 107 this morning?
Yep, Bloomberg last night, just see where we're actually at 103 last night.
Okay, that's historic. So we are living history right now in the capital markets. So I think that's important because the question is, well, what do you do about it? And so I think the response, especially when you have a central bank that's willing to throw money into the market to provide liquidity, it is proven post-financial crisis time and time again that adding liquidity to the market will support valuations and financial assets. Is there any reason to think differently this time?
Nope.
So then we look at the response in the bond market is we're going into I don't want to use the word recession, but the economy is going to slow. So we're coming off 2019, 2% growth in GDP. Our target in 2020 was 1.8% normalized. And so now the Treasury market is telling us that we're going to see a slowing economy, right? What do we do about that?
So in our total return portfolios, we're going to shorten duration. I think that just makes a lot of sense here. I think in some ways you see the move in rates even further than what equity markets are doing. It seems like it's just a price momentum type. You know, like you're saying, it's just people just flooding it. And so it's become overheated. I mean, 1% 10-year just doesn't make a lot of sense. We're not that bad.
How does that translate into investment grade and high yield, Charlie?
Well, investment grade, if you're looking at corporate debt there, it's actually positive returns, although it's out 40 basis points in spread. High yield, because of the dollar price, the way it's priced, has only been negative returns. You see most debt anywhere from 0 to 10 years, probably off from 1 to 2 points. So spreads both definitely wide, high yield out like 140 basis points, but actually in IG credit, you're seeing positive price performance.
Yeah, the ag is up about 4% year to date.
That's surreal.
Right.
From an interest rate level that was 1.5%.
Right.
It's just.
Yeah, if you look at the TLT, that long bond ETF, it's up 15% year to date.
So it is. So this, I don't even know how to ask this question, but normalizing, a typical normalization is we move back to a steady state and interest rates would move up. So how does that look?
I don't see that anytime soon, really.
I mean, I haven't seen the numbers, but I'm curious to see how much Treasury buying was from global central banks versus domestic. This strikes me that there's just a lot of global buying of U.S.
That'd be my guess as well, especially with the curve's been steepening, which means hedging costs are much lower. And you're seeing actual rates in other countries not go down, which tells me, all the buying is here, not there.
Yeah, when bonds, to put this into context, when interest rates are trading at 6 to 7% and you have a 50 basis point move, that's a reasonable move. I mean, that's still a significant move. But when you have interest rates trading at 1.5% and a 50 basis point move down to 1%, proportionally, that's just an amazing sharp move.
Yeah.
So I think that we got to prepare for what normalization would look like. So I think it's a batten down the hatch type of a strategy right now in the fixed income space. And because it could be painful. If interest rates normalize, we move back and we see that price decline in fixed income. Can you talk about what's going on in the new issue market?
The new issue market is at a basic halt. I know IG had almost nothing. I think there was a short end new issue in the beginning of the week, but by the end of the week, absolutely nothing. There was one high yield issuer who attempted to bring new debt. It was Cleveland Cliffs to support their acquisition of AK Steel. But they ran into a lot of trouble trying to attract investors. They upped yields. They flirted with cutting their unsecured portion. And the deal still hasn't gone through. I guess we'll probably know more on that this week, but would expect both investment grade and high yield to be at a standstill.
So I want to close on earnings. So we're pretty much through the fourth quarter earnings. What were the takeaways from earnings this last quarter?
Well, fourth quarter earnings actually came in better than expected. Obviously, looking ahead to this year, we expected 10% growth was the initial forecast. We're probably not going to come anywhere close to that.
10% was the consensus forecast.
Yes.
I think our number was below that.
Slightly below.
But generally, fourth quarter was a low bar. It was kind of hard to step over.
Yeah.
And then now we've added another low bar because you're going to have resets on expectations.
Yeah. And then the do you have a sense on the buyback initiative that we're seeing throughout the last 5 years of corporate America?
I mean, buyback slowed last year. I think it was company by company. We saw, HP is going to do their massive buyback, but Unless you, when you remove, if you remove Apple, it actually, buybacks last year weren't that large. Apple was massively buying back their shares.
Yeah. So the idea, I think this is an interesting proposition, is to look at the bond market, not as a source of capital for publicly traded securities, but now more than anything, a source to restructure the balance sheet. And it's all we're really seeing it is refinancings that are basically allowing the company to term out their debt, buy back their stock. And that's what an investment grade fixed income market has become, which is not what I learned in school. So on that note, we're going to close it down. You guys have a great week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.